It's about Him. The church ain't about you or me. You ever thought, well, things don't go my way? I thought like that too. It don't matter what my way is. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. Amen? As long as we're going with Him, I'm going. Amen? I asked me one time, a long time ago, I said, which way? I'm going to find out the crowd that's doing something for God, and I'm going with them. 2 Peter chapter number 1 this morning. 2 Peter chapter number 1. I want to bring you a message this morning. It's heavy on my heart. 2 Peter chapter number 1. And I'm going to say some things today. I was up late last night, early this morning, all weekend, with this on my heart. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Look at verse number 10. Everybody look at verse number 10. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. That means work at it, study about it, apply yourself to make your calling and your election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. The word I want to look at this morning is right in the middle of that verse, the word sure. Sure. The Bible says, make your calling and your election sure. I want to preach this morning on the subject, you better be sure. You better be sure. You better be sure. Death and eternity and your soul are nothing to play around with. Right. You only get one chance. When you die, you're not going to be reincarnated and come back and try it again to see if you can do better. There is no getting you out of purgatory after you die and leave this world. There is no such place as purgatory. There's no such place in any Bible, anywhere, mentioned as an in-between place. There's nothing in the Bible about us coming back, recycling, and trying it over to try to do a better life. The Bible gives us one life, one chance, a time of preparation. And the message on my heart this morning is, you better be sure. You better be sure. I meet people all the time saying, are you saved? I don't know. Think I am. Maybe I am. Hope I am. Feel like I am. Sometimes I feel like I'm not. My message this morning, you better be sure. You better be sure. You say, I'm not sure. You better be sure. You say, Brother Danny, I've never been sure. You better make sure. Your soul is nothing to play with. It's nothing to joke around with. All you teenagers and young people here this morning, you better be sure. You only get one shot. If you're a girl here this morning, if you're a young man, if you're a grown man or a woman or a mom or a dad or a granddad or a grandmother, you better be sure. Three things I want to say about it this morning. I want to say you better be sure because life is uncertain. None of us know when we're going to die or how. We do know this. We're going to leave this world. Everybody here is going to leave this world sometime and some way. You better be sure you're saved. You better be sure that when you leave this world, you'll go in the presence of the Lord. You say, are you sure this morning, preacher? I sure am. I'm sure. And I'll tell you how before I get through. I'm sure if I died right now that I'd go to be with the Lord. I'm sure. Are you sure? You better be sure. You say, well, I just don't understand how you can know life is too short. I don't believe the Lord would put heaven and hell out there and give us one shot at it and make us wonder and guess our whole life where we're going. He made it possible that you can know. You can know where you're going when you leave this world. You say, I got plenty of time to think about that. You better remember, life is uncertain. Young people die every day. Middle-aged people die every day. Everybody in this world standing in a big line just waiting our turn to fall off the edge. And you may be next, and I may be next. You better remember, because life is uncertain. You know what your life is like? Your life is like grass. The grass out here. Isaiah 40 and verse 6 tells us about it. Isaiah tells about the grass. The Bible said the grass of the field, it withereth. You know, you go out there and look at your grass today, it may be growing good. In a few weeks you look at it, in a few months, it'll be turning brown and then die. That's the way your life is. It all fervent and healthy. You may feel good this morning. You may feel like you can lift weights or run a mile. But listen, death is uncertain. Life is uncertain. Death is coming on our trail. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said your life is like the flowers of a field. In Psalm 103, verse 15 and 16, it said your life is like a flower. Now, them's not real flowers there, but a real flower out there, it'll bloom out, and boy, it looks pretty. And then you'll go back and look a day or two, and it's gone, wilted. That's the way your life is. You feel very good. You feel vibrant. You feel alive. You can feel that way today, and by the end of this week, just be wilted over in death. Are you listening? Life is uncertain. The Bible also says your life is like a vapor. In James chapter 4 and verse 14, the Bible said your life is like a vapor. Have you ever seen a vapor? Be like fog. You look outside one morning, it's very foggy, very misty. And you think, boy, you can't see nothing out there. You fix something to eat, eat you something for breakfast, and you look back out there and the sun's come out and it's gone. He said your life is like that. The Bible said your life is like a shadow. The Bible tells us that your life is like a shadow. You can see the shadow of a tree, of a house out in your yard. Look back in a little bit, it's gone. You know, where's the last generation? They're gone. When they was here, they felt like me and you feel like now. We're it, we're always going to be, and they're gone. Generation before, that's gone. Generation before, that's gone. And guess what? Me and you's going to be gone. We are leaving this world. This world is not our home. Death is sure. Life is uncertain. Now, when you preach that to young people, it's so hard to get them to believe it. Because they think, I've got my whole life ahead of me. I'm young. I'm making a living. I'm buying a house. I'm doing this. No, sir. You better remember. You better be sure, because life is uncertain. Number two, you better be sure, because death is on your trail. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. It said, it is appointed unto man once to die. Once to die. You have an appointment. God already knows the date on the calendar when I'm going to leave here, when you're going to leave here. He's already got it marked on the calendar, that day. You hear about people dying all the time. Can I say this morning? It's not a matter of if you die. It is how, when, and in what condition you die. That's all that's important. It's not an issue of if, but when and how. The rich die. The poor die. Movie stars die. Athletes die. Statesmen die. Politicians die. Poor people die. Young people die. Everybody die. You better be sure this morning, because death is on your trail. You better be sure. Death is on your trail. Now, people die two ways. People die good. People die bad. Back in the old days, years ago, people died like they lived. Nowadays, most people are drugged up and on some kind of medicine, and you can't really tell the condition of their soul. You know, back 100 years ago, 150 years ago, they might get them some alcohol, and some people were rich and got opium brought to them and things like that, so the pain would be gone. But for most people, back in the old days, they died just like they lived. And they said sometimes you could hear them screaming down the holler somewhere. They didn't have hospitals and all the benefits and Medicare and Obamacare and everything taken care of them like people do now. People died down in them hollers and up in them mountains and up. And they said sometimes they'd die one way, sometimes they'd die the other way. I'm going to show you and let you hear how different people leave this world. And you want to leave it right? I mean, it's not a question of if you're going to leave. You're going to leave. The question is how you're going to leave and when. We don't know when, but we do know we're going to. We cannot know when, but we can know how we're going to leave. You better be sure, because death is on your trail. Let me tell you how some people have left this world. I read about Susanna Wesley, one of the greatest mothers in history, the mother of the great Charles and John Wesley. John Wesley began the Methodist Church, as you know. One of the greatest men to ever live, John Wesley. You're not educated if you don't know a little about church history and Bible history, and you ought to read the journal of John Wesley. One of the most amazing stories you've ever read. Susanna Wesley, his mother, when she died, she said this as she was dying. Children, when I'm gone, sing a song of praise to God. That's how she left this world. Let me tell you something, brother. That's leaving right. The woman laid there dying, and she said, "Oh, y'all, soon as I'm gone, sing a song of praise to God." That's the way you want to leave this world. Live so that people don't have to wonder where you went when you leave this world. John Payson, a famous preacher, as he was dying, he said this, quote, "I know I am dying, but my deathbed is a bed of roses. How much better?" He said, "Beyond, I'm leaving this world." He said, "I'm leaving, and I'm leaving right." If you got to leave this world, leave right. Death is on your trail, friend. You better be sure. Old D.L. Moody, he was a great preacher. And if you've never read and studied about D.L. Moody, you need to be educated in church history. One of the greatest men that's ever lived, D. Dwight L. Moody. And D.L. Moody was laying on his deathbed. There's the way you know if a man's right. When he's laying on his deathbed, he said, quote, "Earth recedes, all heaven is open before me. I have been within the gates. I have seen the children's faces." And his son stepped up and said, "Daddy, Daddy, no, Daddy, you're dreaming." He said, "I'm not dreaming." He said, "Death is sweet." He said, "This is death. It is sweet." He said, "This is my coronation day." And he died and left this world. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what he said? He said, "This isn't the end. This is only the beginning." He said, "I'm getting ready to graduate. I'm getting out of school, and I'm going home to be with the Lord." Ladies and gentlemen, what we got is real this morning. What we got, you can die with this morning. What we got is not just something we do on Sunday. Thank God it's a hope that'll carry us over when dying time comes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm glad you can die right. Amen. He who died right. John Milton said this as he was dying. Sin is bitter. He said, "I bless God that I'm ready to go." John Knox said this, "Live for Christ and the flesh need not fear death." You say, "Well, I'm scared to die." Live for the Lord and you don't have to be afraid. Amen. John Wesley, Susanna's son, said this. You know what he said while he was dying? He said, "Best of all, God is with us. Farewell, farewell." And the soul ripped itself loose from that flesh and went to the presence of God. And he's still there this morning, shouting, waiting on the rest of us. I don't know about you this morning, but it puts a shout in my soul just to think about what the Lord done for me when I was 18 years old. He put something in you. You better be sure. You say, "Well, preacher, I wish I could say that." You better be sure. You better be sure, because your turn's coming. Everybody's turn is coming. I read about Charles Wesley, John's brother. You know what he said when he was dying? He said, "I shall be satisfied when I wake with thy likeness." Satisfied. Satisfied. And went home to be with the Lord. I love what Matthew Henry said. He said, "Sin is bitter, but I bless God that I've got inward supports." He said, "Something's inside me holding me up. I feel the like you're sitting in an airplane. It's cranking up, getting ready to take off." He said, "When I'm dying," he said, "sin is bitter." Everything I've ever done wrong is awful. But something inside me is getting ready to take me out and home to be with the Lord. You better be sure, because death is on your trail. Now everybody don't die like that. I have some quotes from those that have died and went the opposite direction and died and went to hell. Sir Francis Newport was a head of an infidel club. He was a head of an atheist club and an atheist organization. They're big and tough while they're alive, but when it comes time to die, they're ready for a change. I know of a man just recently I heard. Years ago I used to witness to him. He was big and tough and said there wasn't no such place as hell. The Bible wasn't true. All preachers was fakes. All churches, that's what he said. I just heard the other day that he's getting ready to die and the man got saved. He called on the Lord. And no matter how big and tough you come off out this morning, the day's going to come when you're going to hit your knees and you're going to say, "Dear God, help me." And Sir Francis Newport, the head of an infidel club, said this. You ready? Here's the head of a club now. When it comes time for him to die, quote, "You need not tell me there is no God. I know there is one. You need not tell me there is no hell. I can feel my soul slipping into the flames. Wretch, man that I am, cease your idle talk about there being hope for me. I am lost forever." Breathed his last breath and died. Voltaire. Everybody here, if you've been to school much, has heard of the famous atheist Voltaire. And Voltaire, before he died, he said the Bible's going to be extinct. He said, "I'll get rid of the Bible. My books will be more popular." He bragged and boasted his whole life. But before he died, he said, quote, "I am abandoned by God and man." He said, "I'll give you half of what I'm worth if you'll give me 6 months to live." He said, "Half of my money is a rich man." And he said, "I'll give you half of it, doctor, if you'll give me 6 months." And the doctor said, "I can't give you no time. You're going to die." He said, "Then I'll go to hell and you'll go with me." I'm going to tell you something this morning, folks. You better be ready. You better be ready. We don't know. This might be the last. You may be sitting in here this morning saying, "Well, I don't know this and I'm going to do that and I'm going to do that." You don't know what you're liable to do. I'd watch talking like that. I'd watch that big talk as you. You want me to tell you the truth this morning? I don't know if I've got another 30 minutes. And you don't either. You better be sure. You better be sure. You better be sure. A man has learned much when he's learned how to die. One more time. A man has learned much when he's learned how to die. Let me give you another important quote. The only real equality is the cemetery. That's the only thing we all really got in common. We live, we die, they bury us. You better be sure. Hell is a place of consciousness. You better be sure. You better be sure. I want to say thirdly this morning, you better be sure, because judgment is waiting. What happens after you die? There's a judgment day. This is what the book says. It is appointed a man wants to die. After this, the judgment. I'll never forget reading about Charles Finney. You should read about Charles Finney. If you're sitting here saying, "I've never heard of these people," it's because you went to the wrong kind of school. You should know a little bit about history. Charles Finney was one of the greatest preachers our country's ever seen. And he was a lawyer. He started out, went 4 years to study law to become a lawyer. You'd be surprised at the lawyers that got saved that turned into preachers. I don't know if I can explain that or not, but we think alike. We're trying. You know what I'm doing this morning? I told somebody this, a barber, this the other day. I said, I'm a lawyer. You know what I'm doing? I'm like a lawyer. I'm presenting my case. And I'm presenting my case that my client is innocent. Jesus Christ. And every time I preach, I'm trying to convince you, the jury, to decide my client, Jesus, is innocent. And Charles Finney got a hold of that. And he studied law for 4 years. And he said that when he got out, somebody asked him. They said, Mr. Finney, what are you going to do with your life? He said, I'm going to hang out my shingle and practice law. That's what they called it back then, hanging out, young out of shingle. And they say, Finney, attorney at law. They said, what are you going to do then? He said, I'm going to get rich. He said, what are you going to do then? He said, I'm going to retire. They said, what are you going to do then? He said, I'm going to die. They said, what are you going to do then? He said, I'll face the judgment. And that law, your brain started working. And he knew about court cases and how them judges handle cases. And he ran a mile out to the woods. And he got down in the woods and he said, I'm not leaving these woods till I settle this. God help me, God help. And when he come out of them woods, after 4 or 5 hours, he was a different man. And he preached 50 years, never did become a lawyer, rather a preacher for 50 years, and led tens of thousands of people to the Lord. And they're all up there in heaven this morning shouting the victory. You know why? He made sure. I'm glad when I was 18 years old on my face at Nebo Baptist Church, I took the Bible and I put God's promise and I made sure. Better be sure. Better be sure. I'm warning you this morning. This message is in the form of a warning. You better be sure. You better be sure. Live your life and thoughts as if the whole world would see one and read the other. You know, I've never been to court. I mean, I've been to court to help other people, but I've never been like arrested or tried to have to stand before a judge or not like that in my life. None of my family has. And I've been in courtroom and I wasn't even on trial and I was scared out of my wits thinking that that man sitting up there can slam that hammer down. That's a scary situation, buddy. And I went to court with a boy over in Asheville not long ago on some drug charges, and he begged me to go just be there for him. And I went over there, and we sat over there in a federal courthouse in Asheville. Son, that judge come walking in there, that big old building, that big old place, them say, and they say, hear ye, the honorable judge. And buddy, I'm telling you, you sit there and you don't open your mouth. And I didn't even on trial, and I was scared to death. And all I could think of was think about standing in front of God that knows every thought you've ever had. He knows where you was at Friday night. He knows what you did. He knows what you drank. He knows what you took. He knows where you were with. He knows what you said. He knows, and all the times you wasted, and all the times you walked out of God's house and not got right, and said later, I want to party. I want to live it up. God knows all that. And you're going to stand in front of Him. He's going to be the judge. Right. Ain't no getting out of it. There ain't no getting out of it. You better be sure, my friend. You say, I want a party. I've told this story before, and I'll just leave the rest of my notes off for a minute. I read about some tribe over in some country that had a custom. And this custom was, whoever is the king of that tribe can only be king for 7 years. And during that 7 years, you can have anything you want. Anything. The whole tribe. Snap your finger. Anything to eat, anything to do, anywhere to go. You're a complete lord and dictator over that tribe for 7 years. Then they kill you. They kill you. And there's men standing in line hoping to get a chance. Because they're all poor and poverty stricken. And they'll say, I want it. I want to be king. Knowing they're going to kill you in 7 years. I want to ask you this morning. If I told you that you can have anything you want in this world for 7 years, then we'll kill you.
What would you say? I'd say, forget you, man. I'd rather live my so-so life for a lot longer than 7 years and have anything I want for 7 years, then you die. But there's people sitting here this morning that say, instead of getting saved, I want to party this weekend, and I want to see that boy, or I want to see that girl, or I want to do that. I want to get high, and I want to do this and that. And you don't even know you've got 7 years. You may not have 7 hours. You better be sure. You better be sure. You better be sure. I like his bumper sticker, Jeremy, out there on that red car. What a blessing that is. And a warning. It says this. Eternity is a long time to be wrong. Eternity in hell is a long time to be wrong, friend. It's a long time to be wrong. Eternity in hell is a long time to be wrong. Say, how long will I be in hell, preacher? They take a steel ball the size of this world, planet Earth, and take a little ant and let it start crawling around on that ball. And when it crawls around on that ball, it'll wear it down the size of a marble. Solid steel. Eternity just starting. 10 million times 10 million times 10 million times 10 million times 10 million. That's a long time to be wrong, buddy. Whatever you're holding on to this morning is nothing. It's not worth going to hell for. Eternity is a long time to be wrong. Don't forget it. Get in church. Get your family in church. Start doing right. Get in the choir. Honor God. Get in the bus ministry. Do something for God. You better be sure. Because this world, listen, this world will make you think it's all about this world, what I can have here and here, my friends here, and my boyfriend, my girlfriend, all. And the devil will get you all looking at your life here. This life here ain't nothing, y'all. It ain't a drop in the bucket. It ain't that much compared to forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. You'll regret those days and nights you spent in sin. You'll regret it. I want you to be sure this morning. Hell is a place of consciousness. Luke chapter 16, 23 and 24. You know what's going on the whole time. Fire up everywhere and burning your face and your mouth and lips. And a soul does have all those things. Hell is a place of torment. In Luke 16, a rich man cried and said, I am tormented in this flame. Somebody said, well, hell just means you're away from God. That ain't what the Bible says. The Bible don't say that. Bible said torment. You say, well, I believe, one man told me, he said, I believe that hell is, whatever you hated here in this world, you'll have to be in that forever and ever. That ain't what the Bible says. The Bible says it's fire. Bible says it's fire. Wouldn't take my chances going against the book like that. Ain't no way that I'm going to die and say, I know more than that does. I'm smarter than that. Ain't no way, buddy. I'm going to be sure. I want to be sure where I'm going. Hell is a place of darkness. Can you imagine it being pitch dark? And the only thing you ever see is flame and eternal separation in Luke 13. No hope of release in Matthew 25. You can't get out. You know, if you're in this world and you're in jail or prison, you might hope for a parole. Maybe get out early. Man, I tell you who I feel for is them old boys and lay in there that's locked up and there's no hope for them getting out. But then they can die. We're talking about going to a place where you don't die and you don't ever get out. You can't die and you never get out. You better be sure. You say, how can I know I'm... How can I be sure, Brother Danny? All right, I'm going to tell you how I'm sure. The way I know that I'm sure I'm going to heaven and I'm ready to die is that all my faith and trust. It don't mean you never have no doubts. I've had doubts. Everybody has doubts. If you got a brain. But my faith, everything, when I get ready to die, I tell you what I'm going to do. I done got my plan in my head. I'm going to say, Lord, I ain't fit to shoot, and I deserve to go to hell. I'm casting my soul and everything I am and have on what Jesus Christ did for me on that cross 2,000 years ago. And I'm sure. Amen. Amen. The Bible said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. God cannot lie. God cannot lie. The only way you can not be sure is saying, well, I ain't done good enough and I don't know if I've done good enough. That's why every religion in the world teaches you that you have to be so good for God to accept you and let you in heaven, and ain't none of them know where they're going when you die. You better be sure. I know I'm sure. I'm sure. My final word to you this morning, you better be sure. Let's stand and bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed, every eyes closed.